It's been a while, guys, but guess what? You have a brand new episode of Tangents Gaming Podcast. My name is Toby. Today, we're going to be digging deep into a series that was released in the 80s on the Nintendo Entertainment System. The series is none other than the Super Mario Brothers. Or, just in case some people are going to get mad at that, Super Mario Brothers 1, 2, and 3. These three games are probably the pinnacle of video games, and even a pinnacle of many people like me in my youth, as the Nintendo, the very first games that you ever played was Duck Hunt and Super Mario Brothers 1. Since Super Mario Brothers 1, more or less, came out with a package of having both games in the system together. Where in reality, it wasn't really that bad. It kind of introduced us to Nintendo, the Mario dimension, and so much more. When I started to decide to do this particular show, I kind of dug deep into all three of the games and learned way more than I could have ever imagined, especially when it came out to be Super Mario Brothers 1. We really do have to give props to the creator of the Super Mario Brothers 1 game for the simple fact there was a lot of actual work that went into this game that I never knew about. The very first one is in World 1, Level 1. What they decided to do with that particular world was to make sure that you learn how to play the game. So 1-1 was nothing more than a training level. And you're thinking to yourself, what are you talking about? What do you mean by training level? Within half of that particular level, you get to meet the Koopas, the Goombas. You grow, you get fire, you get the star, you get everything. And even within the first, couple seconds, you have an area where you run, you can jump, you can try your controls. And that very first Goomba was the very first enemy that you, of course, you jump on and you kill. So it was preparing you as a player to learn the controls of the actual game itself. Then, as soon as you kill the Koopa, there were question marks. You hit that, there were coins. You hit the bricks when you were little. It really doesn't do anything. So you hit the one question mark and boom, the mushroom comes out. You pick it up. You grow big. First thing you do, you go, you get your other question mark that's up top and you go smash the bricks. Then as time goes, you meet up with the pipes. You jump over the pipes. You hit the Goomba. You kill it. There's another one with two Goombas. So you double bounce on that. You get 200 points. You can either take the pipe down, which will give you coins, just jump or whatever, hit the outside, takes you to basically the end of the level, and you can continue. Or, if you go and decide to pass that one pipe, you get to meet the Koombas, you get a fireball, you get a free life. And the one thing about that free life part is it's in such a random spot that when you jump, you are more likely to hit that power-up than anything else, or the free man. So you go, you do your thing, you kill the Goombas, the Koopas, you collect the coins, you do all that. Then at a certain spot, next thing you know, you get the star, which makes you invincible. So you start running. Running a little butt off. And there was a spot where you climb, jump over a little edge. And of course, the little edge, there's a little break in it. And most of us will actually get past it absolutely no problem. Right after that, it's a carbon copy of that first little obstacle where you climb up and jump over. However, the second obstacle, it's an endless pit. You jump, you die. So, like I said, it's a training level. To me, I think that's absolutely a cool idea. Continue to run, you go, you jump, and you jump flagpole, you slide down. If you're lucky, you get fireworks. If not, da 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 da. So you move on to 1-2. And 1-2, exact same thing. It's another learning level. Particular part about this one is when you are playing the game itself, you're taking a look at the boundaries. You take a look, and it's like, man, what can I do to get on top of that roof? Or on top of the dungeon? There are ways of doing it, like massive ways. You could go through the whole entire level till you get to the spot right before the pipe where you have little lifts go down or up. So, of course, you instantly want to see if you can get up top or if it's going to send you down. So, you take the lift up, you hop on top, you realize that you can do that, you go to the right, and guess what? You have warp pipes. I'm not quite sure if Nintendo wanted it to be that easy to warp. Because hopping on top of the tower dungeon, it is absolutely easy. It is what it is. You can go either two, three, or four, or you can continue to play through the level itself and beat the game naturally. That's fine. You get to do that. You go click on four, you go to five, then within the A little bit later on, you have another warp, which can take you to eight. Then you get to meet Bowser. But with this game, you get to be introduced to Goombas, Koopa, Bowser, Princess, Toad, Mario, and Luigi, for sure, for sure. Even the Bullet, which you will eventually see in the third. So it's kind of an introduction to the whole galaxy or the whole dimension of Super Mario. You get to indulge into what will be one of the best marketed video game of all time. Nintendo actually put their money where it should have been put. And let me tell you, it's one of the most genius things anybody's done. That is a totally different subject. Let's not get into it. And let's kind of finish up with Mario 1. So with Mario 1, once you finally do get to the end, you beat Bowser, you meet Princess, game is over. Of course, you get the completion, you get the bragging rights, and everything like that. Now, you wait for a couple years, and Super Mario Bros. 2 comes out. So you're thinking this is going to be kind of like the very first one. However, there's a plot twist to it. Because it's not like the very first one. It is absolutely different to the point that there were so many people that frowned on Super Mario Bros. 2, called it one of the worst games ever created. And I looked at the reviews online for this game, And I found it quite interesting because if you talk to a lot of people hated it. They wouldn't even consider it to be part of the Super Mario Brothers trio. But yet, online, its ratings for the game itself isn't actually too bad. You know, the first one, it's in the 90s. Second one is in the 80s. Now, a few reviews were in the 70s, but foremost, it was in, the 80s. Once you start playing, you realize you could either be Mario, Luigi, Princess, and Toad. So the very four characters that were the good guys from the first one, you can actually play. And each one had a different special power. So Mario, to me, he was normal. Luigi had jumping power, where he can probably jump twice as far as everybody else. Princess can float and fly, and Toad was super strong. So if you like Princess, aka the females, you can be the princess. If you want to be Mario just because he's Mario, the second player could be the whole Luigi thing, even though there's no two players on it. Everybody had a choice of a character, which to me is kind of cool. However, the problem with this game is the characters were so different. You're looking at it wondering what the hell was going on and why has it changed so much? Like, where are the Goombas? Where are the Troopas? What are the Shy Guys? And yes, it was that big of a difference. Even the end bosses, they didn't seem right because what are these dinosaurs and why are they spitting out chicken eggs? Or dinosaur eggs out of the mouth. So you're playing, you're doing your thing, and eventually, when you beat it, you kind of sit back and you watch the screen, and you realize that Super Mario Bros. 2 is nothing more than Mario actually dreaming. I never physically beat 2 because I had the Nintendo way later in the times, and video games were actually really expensive, and you went out and you rent. But I played it over at a buddy's house, and yeah, it wasn't my thing. I could care less about it. So it was kind of interesting knowing that number two, despite being at number two, was nothing more than a dream that Mario had. Hence the weirdness of no Koombas, no Koopas, no Goombas, no Bowser, anything like that. So you're just kind of looking at it, tilting your head, going, what did I play? Which dimension am I in? And I am absolutely 100% confused on this game. In reality, I don't blame anybody getting confused because even to this day, it is a very confusing day. But the concept itself, I really do think it is really interesting and they should have kept it rolling a little bit more. And when I mean that, I mean have the four players. Have each of the players there that you can actually choose. So if you wanted to be Mario, Luigi, Princess, or Toad, you could be that. Open up that line of possibilities where you can be who you want to be. And yes, I do know that when you do that, it changes the whole video game, the outcome, and even the story. But maybe what you could have did was have four different story modes that every time that when you pick one, the story is different from the other. So if you pick Mario, yes, he's saving the princess. Luigi, maybe he's doing something else. Princess, maybe she's saving Mario. And Toad, well, it's just Toad. But like I said, there's so many possibilities that they could have did with two, and I think this one was actually a really, really bad option. When Super Mario Bros. 3 came out, the part that really got people going was the screenshots, the video play that they have had, and even the previews of Mario 3 on, for example, The Wizard, which was a movie back in the 80s, and it was nothing more than a kid going across country so he could compete in a video game contest. Who knew that video games came along that this far from something as simple as that? But with the third one, the part that was really weird about it is the plot behind that one is most of it was a play, which really got me confused, because as you're playing the third, you have different directions that you can go. You still have your players like Mario, Luigi, Toad's in there, Princess is in there, but you're going across a map, and every time you click on a certain level, you go and you're jumping, you're landing, you're doing your thing, and at the end, it looks like you're going off of a certain area into a blackness where you jump up and you hit a spinny thing where you can get lives. The thing that you actually run off into the black is a stage. So when you first go into Super Mario Bros. 3, a curtain goes up. And the plot behind this one is Super Mario Bros. 3 is nothing more than a play. Hence the reason why you see the blocks in the background and it looks like little screws or nails in the four corners. Then, if you go on the white ones, you hold down, you actually fall through the white and you're behind the set. So if there was, say, three Koopas in a row behind one of those bricks, you could actually surpass it and stick behind those bricks. Then eventually you'll pop out to the front. But I really never cared that it was part of a play. It was a well-balanced video game, and the additions that they had were a heck of a lot more interesting. Like, for example, you could be the raccoon, will help you fly. The frog ability was way better, especially when you're swimming, not like the first one. And even the bear, where it turns you into a statue for a certain amount of time. So if you see something you can't get out of the way, you hold down, you hit a button, boom. You're a stone statue, everybody walks past you, you let go, you turn to human, then you can carry on your way. Where it is a very cool idea and a cool concept, and they really, really carried themselves with the third one, which made it, quote, one of the best video games ever created. That's not my opinion, because I don't think it was the best. Super Mario Bros. 3, to everybody, is on the Mount Rushmore of video games. Why wasn't it one of the Rushmores of mine? It just doesn't feel like it should be up there. It has a limitation, and I feel that it doesn't really play off that well. Yes, you do have iconic things like the sun and the quicksand with the ball and chain, but it just doesn't feel right. When it comes to the greatest, I think Super Mario World is a billion times better, and I will explain to you in another episode. But this one, I really do think that the third is the better of the three. It helps you get introduced a little bit more to the Mario universe, where the first one, it more or less introduces you to the five main characters, and the second one is nothing more than a joke. But with the third, it introduced you to a lot of things. That's a positive. There's no do to boot it. And yeah, that's about it. So what do you think? Which one was the best? Which one pissed you off? And if there was a way of redoing it, where and what could be done differently? TangentsGamingPod@gmail.com. TangentsGaming189 across social media. Hit me up. Let me know. And you never know. You might get your opinion actually played on the show and see if anybody else agrees with you. All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning in, and thank you for being patient. A little bit of things have went on with things behind the scenes. Nothing too fun. But I will catch you next time, and hopefully you like, follow, share wherever this show is so you don't miss another episode. Until next time, guys, thank you for tuning in, and I will catch you later right here on Tangents Gaming Podcast.